Don't let the title mislead you. There's a whole lot of life in the new fifth album from Dawes called We're All Gonna Die. It's the latest chapter in the story of an ever-evolving creative rock band that take their craft to new heights here. Taylor Goldsmith is a master storyteller, and the production touches of Blake Mills on this album bring new textures to the songs. Our live session brings the whole band in Studio A for a flawless set, and Taylor fills us in on that night the tequila ran out. Here's Dawes on FUV Live. Taylor Goldsmith, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Oh, man, what a gem of an album this new one is, and very different from the albums that have come before.
I think we're always trying to add something to the palette or to the spectrum of what we do. And I guess with all of our favorite artists, with each record they would put out, it would sort of, you'd be like, oh, this is a side of their personality as well, rather than keeping it straight up the middle. It wasn't really on purpose. I think the songs sort of dictated what the record was going to sound like. The first one I wrote was We're All Gonna Die. And so after that was written, it was very clear, like, oh, this is going to be a much different record.
You're singing falsetto on a lot of the record. It's almost like Taylor's late night slow jams kind of voice. But it's beautiful.
Thanks.
I mean, you've done that before.
Right.
But never full on like this. There's a soulfulness here, right?
Oh, yeah. And I think the songs just, they were kind of calling for a different kind of thing, and which was great for us. When we recorded All Your Favorite Bands, it was important to just get the band together and then sing and play it as urgently and as just kind of directly as we could. And with this record, it was a lot like certain songs, like, oh, we can't just come at it without shaping it a little more and really figuring out how to sing these songs or how to play these songs.
Right down to electronic drums. Griff isn't sitting behind the kit for the first time ever at WFUV.
Right.
He's sitting behind some pads.
Right. And he's always playing a kit on the record with each song, but in some songs, there's some drum programming is alongside what he's playing. Like on our song, When the Tequila Runs Out, Jim Keltner came in and worked up this cool MPC thing, like out of a Dr. Dre song or something, these really wild sounds that he had stored up. And it was funny because he was sitting in the corner of the studio with his headphones on all day, and we were tracking the song, and I was looking at him like, what's he doing? I haven't heard anything that he's doing. And then towards the end, he's like, okay, I think I have this cool thing that'll go along with what you guys did. And there's dogs barking and cars honking. If you listen close, there's some wild sounds going on in that one, and it's all kind of stored in his MPC.
That's so cool. I mean, that's a whole new chapter for you guys going down that road.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's been fun, and it's allowed Griffin to, you know, not have to just simply bear the responsibility of playing a beat. You know, he can get a little more inventive and a little more expressive rather than just boom snick.
It's always interesting to talk to artists, because when an artist kind of grows in their different chapters unfolding and different sounds and different palettes you play with, I often wonder, and I'll ask you guys if this was the case for you, did what you were listening change and then that helped to inform this? Was there a part of like kind of a shift in influences, a shift in what was playing on the bus or shows you were going to or anything like that?
Absolutely. I mean, there's always some strange stuff that we were listening to. I guess not strange, but strange relative to what you would assume Dawes was listening to when we recorded, say, our first two records or something. And that's kind of always been the case. Like when I wrote Things Happen, I was listening to a lot of Arctic Monkeys or something. And it's not like someone would think that, but that was a big influence. And so similarly with this new record, listening to a lot of, whether it was Kanye West or D'Angelo or stuff that I feel like everybody loves, but just maybe you wouldn't have expected to hear it as an influence for a Dawes record. But I think the main thing for us was less about trying to find other sounds other artists did, but more about figuring out where we could take a step to as a band. I feel like for a long time we've been trying to make the All Your Favorite Bands record where you could really hear how Griffin played drums, you could really hear how I played guitar, because I feel like after the first three, people would come to shows and say, oh, I didn't know you played guitar that way, or I didn't know Griffin sang that way, or I didn't know Griffin played drums that way. And it was sort of like, well, then we were missing something with these records. I love those records, but I felt like we weren't communicating a certain aspect of what our band was. And then with All Your Favorite Bands, we sort of forced it. And then from that, I feel like it gave us, in a way, a clean slate. Like, okay, we did it now. We showed people that that's where we're starting from as a four-piece band that plays together. And now that that's out of our system, what do we want to do? Like when you listen to We're All Gonna Die, there's not these long, elaborate guitar solos or these free-form drum performances. It's a lot more structured and a lot more arranged because, like I said, because we did that. And so now, in a way, it was sort of a, not a reaction to it, but just an evolution from it.
Dawes, great band, keeps on growing. Album number 5, just out, called We're All Gonna Die. There's one tune that I'm sure is gonna bound to be a fan favorite. When the tequila runs out, we'll be drinking champagne, is the chorus. Is this metaphorical champagne, or is there a really good story that inspired this tune?
Well, it's funny. Speaking of all your favorite bands, when we were, for pre-production, we just made a little tour in California, and our producer Dave Rawlings came along. And we went down to Pappy and Harriet's in Joshua Tree, and there was a little house next door. A friend of ours rented that house to come see the show, and so we all went to the show, and then after that we went to her house, and we all stayed up until like the crack of dawn. Like Dave and Gil were there, and so many of our friends that drove down from L.A., including Jason Bozell, who I wrote this song with. And I showed up late because I was packing up and, you know, saying bye or whatever. And then so when I got there, I was like, Jason, what's there to drink? And he's like, well, we have a little bit of tequila, but it's almost gone. And then after that, there's just all these bottles of champagne. And then we were pretty inebriated, and we weren't even hanging out. But every time we would pass each other in the hall or something, we would just start singing that to each other. The melody and all, it all just kind of showed up at this party, and we thought it was funny, and we just kept singing it. And the next day, one of us called the other one, and it was like, that was actually pretty cool. We should write a song and have that be the chorus. So it came out of a very specific experience. But I do find that people have different interpretations of the meaning in regards to the rest of the song. Like, some people think it's, this guy must have a death wish, because anybody that's drinking a bunch of champagne after emptying a bottle of tequila is really asking for a horrible next morning.
Here's Dawes live in the studios at FUV.
Everyone that greeted me was moving slow and drinking fast. I was lost inside a painting on the wall. With a cigarette, just looking for a place to ash. Stumbling toward the voices down the hall. They had Thriller on the stereo, not the album, just the song. Two dancers all in white that no one really knew. There were a lot of leather jackets. There was a haircut reading palms. There was a line outside the bathroom that didn't really move. When the tequila runs out, we'll be drinking champagne. When the tequila runs out, we'll be drinking champagne. When the tequila runs out, we'll be drinking champagne. When the tequila runs out, we'll be feeling no pain. Some girls forgot their bathing suits. It felt like jumping in the pool. Right after making sure the underwater lights were on. I was staring at a silhouette. I was blushing like a fool. Letting everyone pretend they hadn't planned it all along. Then our host bust out of his bedroom with his glasses slightly bent. He gets up on the diving board to tell us how he feels. Ladies and gentlemen, we've begun the initial descent. And now it's time to pull up on the wheel. When the tequila runs out, we'll be drinking champagne. When the tequila runs out, we'll be drinking champagne. We'll be drinking champagne. When the tequila runs out, we'll be feeling no pain.
summer passed, life passed out. Laying next to her handsome new flame. I didn't recognize his face too much, except for the grimace on his mouth. He looked a lot like me, he seemed to be in pain. I didn't hear the picture window break, I didn't see the rising sun. I could feel the morning breeze. Then I heard a tired voice speak up and say, I think this party is done. She asked if I could drive her home, and then she added, please. Please, when the tequila runs out, we'll be drinking champagne. When the tequila runs out, we'll be drinking champagne. When the tequila runs out, we'll be drinking champagne. When the tequila runs out, we'll be feeling all vain. Oh, but you filter everything through without knowing you do. A past and future synthesize. You just roll with the bushes.
There's a couple of tunes live in Studio A from Dawes, our guests here at 90.7 FM WFUV, debuting brand new tunes, album number 5, just out, called We're All Gonna Die. Roll with the Punches and When the Tequila Runs Out. Roll with the Punches has some of your finest lyrics. Taylor, we're talking about kind of the different approach that you've taken in the production and the making of this record, but of course at the heart of it are your stories and your storytelling skills.
Well, thanks.
And the opening line of that tune, Roll with the Punches, the separation was symmetrical, each retreated to their sides. Man, quite an opening line there.
Yeah, that song, obviously, it's about just, I mean, we're all familiar with separation, and you know, whether it's just breaking up or if it's divorce or if it's something else, but I think that the particulars of it, how that does start to identify itself in the details, and how that can often be the most heartbreaking aspects when, you know, you find someone's billfold in your drawer they forgot or something, where it's like, oof, this hurts more than the hug goodbye. Yeah. And so I was sort of fascinated with that. And also just the lasting effects, how someone, like it or not, leaves a mark. And that's something that you have to own. You can't ignore. You can't take those new steps being like, cool, well, now I'm away from that, and now I can start to be a new person. It's like, no, you can't ever actually be, unfortunately. But you can use it to learn something or grow, but you can't pretend it didn't happen.
Right. And there'll always be little things popping up to remind you that it did happen.
Yeah.
All those artifacts. As a songwriter, Taylor, do you sometimes start with a concept for a tune? In other words, some writers will start with an opening lyric or a melody or whatever, but sometimes I find, like, even there's another song on the record called Less Than 5 Miles Away. You know, and I just, as I listened to that song, I thought, God, this guy, you're such a great writer. You could take a concept and fill it in, almost like an assignment, you know?
Right, right.
Or do you fill it in and then, oh, look, I got a great concept here. Do you know what I'm saying? I think sometimes you get some great concepts that you develop.
Yeah, that's a cool question. And it is both ways. Sometimes a verse will kind of show up, like the first verse of As If By Design on the new record. I wrote that and I didn't know what the song was about. I really liked it. The stars were just the holes punched in the shoebox. To give a creature all the air it needs to breathe, as if every constellation was a form of ventilation from a captor too enormous to conceive. And I was like, oh, I like that. But I also was like, I don't know where to go. And then as I left it alone, I feel like a sort of structure and an idea formed around it. But you're right. A lot of songs, especially with this record, whether it's Less Than 5 Miles Away or Roll With The Punches or Quitter or For No Good Reason, I sort of had the idea or the title first and thought this can be not only a good idea for a song, but reflective of how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's a difference sometimes. Like sometimes you hear these well-written songs, but you still don't necessarily feel like you have any insight into someone's perspective. And that can be unfortunate. But then you could hear, you know, Warren Zevon talking about, I don't know, nothing. Mm-hmm. And it still feels like, oh, this is the stamp of a writer. Mm-hmm. And so finding out something that I haven't experienced firsthand, like everything in Less Than 5 Miles Away or everything in For No Good Reason, but still trying to write it in a way that, oh, this sounds like Taylor. Mm-hmm. To me, I don't know what other people think I sound like, but I guess like the other Taylor in my own head.
Well, that authenticity too. I mean, that's something that you have always stood for. It's funny you mentioned that song As If By Design, because when I heard the opening line to that tune, which is just reminded me of being a kid and having a bug collection right in the shoebox, and then you'd put the bug in there and you'd punch holes in it, right, so the bug would live. And then I think you're kind of like you know, yeah, referencing
yeah, yeah.
that
yeah.
that part. And then, like, even for us as grown-ups, the holes in the sky, the stars, you know, allow us to breathe. But it had me thinking about me as a kid and what I thought about music when I was a kid. And then I wondered, Taylor and Griff, okay, two brothers in yeah. the band together, when you guys were kids, either kids or even teenagers in high school, what did you think rock and roll was? Like, what was your picture of rock and roll? And, you know, have you paved that way? In other words, have you made your dreams come true here in that way? Or, like, what was your vision of rock and roll? Or was it, like, metal? Or
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
what was your picture
it's
of rock?
Cool. It's cool for you to ask that. Like, originally, I didn't know what I liked. I just, things would get stuck in my head, and I would drift towards that. And then, as any kid does, I got caught up in the Beatles, and, you know, obviously very much indebted to that period. And in terms of what rock and roll means to me, it was a very specific moment when I was like 16, I think, which is a little late, but whatever. And I was in 10th grade, and I was staying up a little later than my folks. My folks went to bed, and I don't know why, but I put on Let It Bleed again. I had heard it. But I guess I never got it. I definitely never got it. And I was listening to Gimme Shelter and listening to Going to Love in Vain. And then I remember opening, cause it was in the days of CDs, and opening the CD case and having it in all caps say, this record must be played loud. And I remember, I think it's funny that I did this, but I remember waking up my dad, who was asleep. And I'm like standing over him. I'm like, Dad, he wakes up and assuming something's wrong because I didn't do that sort of thing. He's like, what's up, man? I was like, Let It Bleed might be the best record that's ever been recorded. And he was like, okay, we'll go to bed. And I think that sort of scrappiness that existed on that record, the inner workings of a band that really is like letting it be what it is. They're not perfectionists by any stretch. You appreciate when Charlie and Keith rub, or when a vocal's a little out, or when the bass misses the chord. And it was the same experience I had with Highway 61, where they are able to make these recordings where it all sounds like one big, ugly instrument that does something that you wish you could understand, but you never will. And I guess that's when I was like, oh, I love rock and roll more than anything. Before that, I was like, oh, I think I like jazz music, or I think I like something else. And I became very obsessed with Steely Dan for a long time, which I still love. But then once the Stones and Dylan hit in that way, I was like, oh, there's no turning back.
Taylor Goldsmith is our guest here at FUV. The new album from Dawes is called We're All Gonna Die. And, of course, that title suggests all sorts of things. Once you hear the title track, you fully understand it. And here is Dawes to perform that tune live in studio here at FUV.
Feel the
about that girl that disappeared. And if it really was the road that pulled me away, or if I'm still a victim of my fears. How she showed me the machinery that our words protect us from. How she could keep me in the moment. How that's all that ever was. I should call it as to see her, even if it's just a couple days. I could meet her out in Georgia, or she could fly up to LA.
Holy cow, what a tune. That is the title track off the brand new album from Dawes, We're All Gonna Die. Where were you when you wrote that song? You got to give us a backstory on this. It's a really remarkable tune.
Thanks.
With packing some emotional intensity.
It was, like I said before, it was the first song that was written for the record. I was fascinated with the vernacular aspect of that phrase, how it almost functions as one word in terms of its associative powers. I feel like people hear those four words and you think of several different things. Sometimes someone laughs. I mean, I understand the humor. And frankly, that there's an element of that in the song. We tried to make the song as beautiful as we could. And then while saying that line, it's a pretty juxtaposed experience. And I like that about it. But at the same time, it's also very real. And I would not want to come across as if that's something that we're just tossing off and think is just some big joke. Because obviously I'm terrified of death. And I assume most people are. But it's also something I've gotten very good at, knowing how to deflect or compartmentalize or put aside. We all find those moments where we are forced to reckon with. It feels good. It feels healthy or sobering. And I wanted to try to explore all those aspects of it, whether it makes someone smirk or makes someone, you know, drags them through the mud a little bit without, you know, hopefully without insulting anybody. I mean, there was that famous Steve Martin recording where at the end of his live set, he's like, man, we sure did have fun tonight considering we're all going to die someday. And it makes you laugh. And while it makes you laugh, it's also like wildly dark. So I think it was going after that same kind of impression. And also with this song specifically, it's probably the most autobiographical on the record. Being an artist and sometimes feeling like I'm losing touch with what made me pick up a guitar at 12 years old, which is very easy to do when it all becomes about like, well, how much money is this show paying? And how, what, like, if we release the record now, is this blah, blah, blah? And so when you get caught up in that, sometimes you lose sight of the things that really matter. And then in trying to get back into touch with that, I think it's also good to be reminded of, hey, don't get carried away. It's not that big a deal. We are going to die after all.
Yeah, we're all going to die.
It can't matter that much.
It's just a great tune, and the production and the arrangement on it is just so cool.
Thanks.
The new Dawes album is called We're All Gonna Die. It actually reminds me of that line in Moonstruck. Remember when he says, you know, she goes, he's cheating on her, and then she asks the other guy, you know, why do men cheat? And he goes, her friend says, men cheat because they're afraid they're going to die. So then when she sees her husband, he's walking up the stairs, Cosmo, you know, and she goes, Cosmo, we're all going to die, you know, which was her way of saying, like, I know you're cheating,
yeah,
and we're all going to die. Which is
another
twist on that tune. Oh, you worked on the album with Blake Mills?
Yes. Childhood friend.
Reunited and it feels so good.
Yes, yes, yes. It was amazing. I mean, like, we met at 11 and 12 years old, or 10 and 11, I forget. But we were babies when we first met. He was always Mr. Cool. I wasn't so cool. He already knew every Van Halen lick ever. He was in his underwear when I first came over. Like, her parents were friends, and he's just sitting there with a Ernie Ball, Wolfgang, playing all these Eddie Van Halen songs while I was going to voice lessons learning Lion King songs. So he really had it before me, but then he kind of showed me the way of how to be one of the cool kids. But then we were in a band for years together, and then now he's become this lights out A-lister producer, and we've wanted to work with him for a long time, and schedules and just things weren't lining up, and this was the first time where we were like, oh, this can really happen. And it was a joy. I mean, he's a brother, he's a member, he's all of those things.
Got a bunch of special guests on the record too. Brittany, Jim James, yeah. Brittany from Alabama Shakes, who all else?
Yeah, they sang on, Brittany and Jim sang on When the Tequila Runs Out, along with Will Oldham, actually.
Oh, cool.
It's one of my all-time heroes, so that was really special to have him on a song. He's on that line up where the captain's speaking, sort of. And then the girls from Lucius and Mandy Moore, they sang on A Picture of a Man.
Cool. Taylor Goldsmith, our guest here at 90.7 FM, WFUV. The new album is fantastic. Always great to see you.
Thanks.
Dawes, our guests on today's FUV Live. Their new album, We're All Gonna Die, is out now. You can listen and watch today's show, along with many other exclusive conversations and performances, in the FUV Vault at WFUV.org. This session was engineered by Jim O'Hara and produced by me, Alisa Ali. Thanks so much for listening. This is 90.7 WFUV in New York.